recording, Greek Club.
On, let's see what it is today, October the 28th?
Yes.
28th? Okay, on an amazingly beautiful fall day. Here, we're broadcasting live from Exegetical Tower here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And we are reading the letter of Paul to the Galatians. And I believe we are at verse 28 or 9. We'll just do 28 because that's easy. And then we get into chapter 5 and at least one interesting, likely Septuagintalism. So that just makes our blood run hot. And so we'll take up verse 28. Humeste autophoi, kata issaak, epangeleas tekna esta. I think we might have done this last time. Emphatic pronoun, right? You. But you, brothers. And given Paul's theology of all are one in Christ, I'm not sure it's a translation, but it certainly captures the sense if you think of it as brothers and sisters. Right? Paul isn't, I don't think, writing just to the male members of the Galatian congregations. So, and you, adelphoi, are, verbs at the end, right? And now we have the predicate nominative, tekna, children. Now, what kind of children? Children of promise, which is what, let's see, what would you call that? A genitive of vagueness or something like that. Promissory children, children that come from the promise, maybe, something like that.
Can you use that on a test?
No, you cannot use that on a test. Yeah. Well, you can, you just won't get any credit for it. And this is so according to Isaac. Right? And of course, Paul is now finishing off this interesting and hermeneutically challenging allegorical reading of Genesis, right? But again, to solve those issues would take us pretty far afield, and we actually wouldn't get any more Greek in, and still wouldn't finish it. So that's verse 28. Pretty easy. Questions? Remember that. What's the emphatic position in a Greek clause or sentence? It's easy enough. First word, right? First word is often there for some emphasis. And of course, because you don't need the pronoun at all, because it's embedded in the te ending of the verb, it's sort of doubly emphatic, but you. So pick a different font or something when you translate that. Yeah, Jim.
The kata isaac, is that modifying, like, we're children of the promise which is according to Isaac, or the whole us being children of the promise is according to Isaac?
I think it's the whole thing. So as hard as it is to render in English, that prepositional phrase probably modifies the verb. So you might render it something like this, but you, brothers, are, comma, according to Isaac, comma, children of promise. I think we kind of have to take it that way. Yep, that's a good question. So, okay, great. Anything else? By the way, I'm just looking at the flag on the play on the first word there, the dog leg right, and it's a good example of how you can sometimes even guess the variant readings. So you might just guess that instead of you, it reads we. And in fact, that's the variant down there at verse 28. And then, of course, you have to change the verb from second plural to first plural, so which some manuscripts do. Very good. Okay, verse 29. Now we start with a contrasting statement. Al, which is a shortened form of Allah. Al hosper tataha katasarka genethes edioken tan katapnuma hutos kai nun. But, just as then, tata is a little word that means then, it can be both temporal and sequential. Here, it's clearly temporal, back then. The according to the flesh having been begotten one. So genethes is from what dictionary form? Genao, very good. And it's an aorist participle passive. It's an odd form. The passive participles are difficult. This is masculine singular nominative. At least you have an article on it. You've got ha that governs it. The having been begotten one. And he was begotten according to the flesh. So it's a reference to, let's see, Jacob and Esau. It's a reference to Esau. I had to get my names right there. So, Edioken, imperfect, right? From Dioko, which means to chase or, negatively, persecute. Okay, it can mean pursue in a positive way, as well as it doesn't have to have a negative meaning. It's an imperfect. And so, any suggestions for how to render this? So, just as formerly, then the one who was born according to the flesh. Anybody? What are some of the options for imperfect?
Was being persecuted.
Was persecuting. Keep it active voice, right? Was persecuting. There's an iterative sense. Used to persecute, right? Tried to persecute, right? It would just be whichever one fits in the context most comfortably. And sometimes more than one seems to fit. And who did he used to persecute? Tan kata pneuma, right? This is, again, the article's ability to turn anything into a noun. And I mean anything. So the according to the spirit one, it's masculine, singular, accusative, right? So get used to that. When I teach elementary Greek, I actually, when we get to this point, I teach them that this is called the power of the definite article. And all the class is forced to say, dum-da-da-dum, like that. So, which is why nobody ever, ever likes to take Greek from me. And I can't say that I blame them. Houtos kai nun, so also now. Okay, so, and Paul here is referring to, contextually, to the opposition that he and his teaching and his Christians, if I can call them that, are getting from the Judaizers, right? Their teaching is coming in, and like Esau of old persecuted or tried to persecute, in fact, wanted to kill his brother, right? So also now. Did I skip generations there? I did, didn't I? Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. Well, you know what I was talking about. I was talking about Jacob's father. No. Anyway, let's move on. It wasn't Jacob and Isaac. It was Esau and Ishmael. Okay. No.
It's Hagar and Sarah.
Yeah. Hagar and Sarah, and so it's Isaac and Ishmael. Right. Who cares about the Old Testament? I can only say that because Dr. Selesky is not here. He'll wreak his wrath on me later. Okay, verse 30. Allah, te lege he grafe, ek bale tein paidiskein kai tan huyan altes, ugar me clayrana me se ha huyas tes paidiskes, meta tu huyu tes e leu theras. But what does the scripture say? Ek bale, from ekbalo, an aorist imperative, kick out, throw out the slave girl and the son of her. For ume plus, now interestingly, what we have, let's see, kleirana me'o, we actually have the future indicative here instead of what might you expect with ume. Not just any subjunctive, the aorist subjunctive. It's an idiom. Sometimes you learn this as the no way Jose construction. Ume plus the aorist subjunctive is a statement of emphatic future negation. Not may this not happen, but this will not happen.
Right. So is this aorist or future right here?
Well, this is actually a future. It's just future indicative. But sometimes you'll get this, instead of the aorist subjunctive, you'll have a future indicative in its place.
So
it can go either way, right? The normal expression is ume plus the aorist subjunctive. Right. I think the aorist subjunctive here would have to be kleirana me se with an eta and probably a circumflex and an iota, if I'm remembering my accents right. For the son of the slave girl will certainly not inherit. Again, it's not a wish or it's simply a statement of emphatic future negation. The son of the slave girl will certainly not inherit with the son of the free woman. Okay, and of course this refers to when God tells Abraham to to cast out Hagar and her son. So there's it's light and darkness, and this is so typical of Galatians, right? There, as I like to say, Paul takes no prisoners here, right? It's either works or faith. There's no middle ground for justification, and so it's either slave or free. And then verse 31, therefore. Dia adelfoi, uk esmen. Note the shift to first person plural. paideskes techna, Allah tes eleutheros. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not techna, children of the slave girl, which is to say, our justification is not in any way dependent upon works of the Mosaic law, but we are children of the free. Okay? And that ends kind of this. Again, it's a very interesting passage and very complex in many ways. But the Greek, at least, is not so bad. Any questions about... Yeah, Joe?
Non-Greek declined, but what does that mean to be of the spirit, according to the spirit one? Like, why is I just because he was the heir to the promise?
Yes, exactly. Promise, gospel, spirit all go together. Right. Right. Flip back to chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And you see a kind of interesting parallelism here. Galatians 3, 2 and 3. I think verse 3 actually may be the first reference to the Holy Spirit in Galatians, although I'd have to check that out. Verse 2, this only I wish to learn from you. Out of, or from, or by works of the law did you receive the Spirit, or by the hearing of faith? See, there's the connection between, and the proper answer, of course, is the hearing of faith, right? And then go on into verse 3. Thus, in this way, are you anaetoi, are you foolish, mindless, beginning, maybe temporally, after beginning, pneumata, in the Spirit, now, in the flesh, are you being completed? Okay. And so for Paul, and for us, the promise, the gospel, the Holy Ghost, all go together, right? And as soon as you start talking about either our justification before God, or, because the two are related, our full membership in the people of God, on the basis of something that we have done, at this point you're leaving the realm of the Spirit. Right? So. Good. Other questions? All right. 5-1. Paul writes, Te eleutheria hemas Christos eleutherosen. Steketeun. Kai me palin to go duleas en ekesta. Now here we have a septuagenalism. Literally, what? You can always, when you have a dative noun or pronoun, you can always start with what category? A dative of? Yeah, you might, but even more vague than that, if I could say it that way, would be the dative of reference or the dative of respect. See, indirect object is a little more specific. See? So with reference to freedom, us, Christ, freed, from eleutherao. Okay. Now what does that mean? With respect to freedom, Christ has freed us? Well, what it probably actually is, and I was hoping that Dr. Solaska could be here, because I could at this point turn the show over to him, because he both knows 87 times more Hebrew than I do, and he knows the Septuagint, I think, Septuagint is 86 times better than I do. I think this is a Septuagintal expression for, buckle up, the infinitive absolute followed by a finite form of the verb. So, when you have the infinitive absolute followed by a finite verb, it's often emphatic. See? To open, he will open. Or something like that. Does this sound familiar? Okay. Now, one of the ways that the Septuagint renders that is to take that Hebrew infinitive absolute and express it by the cognate noun in the dative case. Okay, and so it's probably emphatic. That is, Christ has really freed you, or and freed us, right? And the English translations tend to take it literally, which is not a bad idea, you know, something like for freedom, Christ has freed us. But I think it's probably an emphatic statement, just following that pattern that the Septuagint. And there are, by the way, there are various ways that the Septuagint does that. tries to render the infinitive absolute followed by a finite verb. One of them is actually to use a participle for the infinitive absolute. But, and one of the other ways is to use the state of cognate noun. So Christ has really freed us. Staketa. Now this is a verb that should be a comfort to all of you who, in your heart of hearts, like me, hate the me verbs, right? Because they're so irregular. This is sort of from histeme. Now, this, you get extra credit for this. What's the fourth principal part of histeme, anybody?
Esteka.
Esteka. Okay, now you guys were all about to say that. Jim just jumped right in, right? Yeah. 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 Esteka. Well, the me verbs are hard, and so what you actually get in the Hellenistic period is new verbs being formed that are simplified forms. And so instead of going through all the trouble of going from histeme to what? Steso, estein, or esteza, there are two third principal parts, to esteka, or hesteka, I think it is, you actually get a new verb, steko. And it's a happy verb, because it behaves like luo. Steko, steke, steke, stekum, and steketa, stekuse, right? And that's actually what this is. It's a kind of a new, simplified form of histeme, and it's a present indicative. It's all in the lexicon. Stand, therefore, right? And may, now don't do something, again, en ekesta. This is one of the echo compound verbs. I always have to look these things up. And it in the passive, it means to be subject to. Okay? And it's second person plural, right? See the ste ending. And it could be an indicative, or it could be an imperative. It would be the same form. So how do you know that it's an imperative?
May.
It's the may. If this were an indicative, you'd use ooh. Right? So the may nails down that it's an imperative. And do not be subject again with respect or to a yoke of slavery. Or maybe an enslaving yoke. Right? Something like that. Now, it's a present imperative. So, may plus the present imperative, since they're in spiritual danger, might should be rendered how?
Stop.
Right. Stop being subject again to a yoke of slavery. Okay? Because that's the danger. And by the way, coming up in the next few verses, this is about, usually in Galatians, when Paul has harsh words, he saves that harshness for the they. You know, if anyone, you know, third person is teaching contrary to what we taught, let him be accursed. See? And he's been appealing. Remember in chapter 4, you know, remember how you took care of me when I was sick, and da 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 da. See? But, Paul becomes most urgent of all with them. You know, with the you here at the beginning of chapter 5. Because he really does fear for their salvation. They're being misled by another gospel. And by the way, that's why, if I could just say this, that's why in our teaching and preaching, we're to teach and preach the whole counsel of God, of course. But you can never get very far in your teaching and preaching from the gospel. Because guess what's constantly being eroded by the devil, the world, and our flesh? See? We mustn't think that once a person, in a sense, once the gospel has a person, that they won't be under attack. Right? So again, it doesn't mean that our preaching is simplistic. It doesn't mean we always say the same thing in the same way. It doesn't mean that at all. Right. But you can't ever actually leave the gospel. That sounds like that was good, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. All in favor say aye. Say again?
Good thing you have that on tape. We can play that,
Right, right, yeah. When you come to visit me in the nursing home and we recite the principal parts of histeme. So, yeah, including the two third principal parts. Yeah, okay. Well, it's 25 after. We should stop here. We will pick up at verse 2 at Greek Club.